Turn those off, Greg.
Good evening. I'd like to welcome everyone into service. Brother Bobby's back there. He's all ready. So let's all stand. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen. You might share
it. Did you black book first? Black book.
You have a testimony. You feel free.
60. Start at 60. Number 60. 60 in the black book. 60. It's almost finished. Two more songs left to do and it'll be done. All right, here we go.
I'm
I'd like to welcome everyone into the service tonight. Thankful for another opportunity that the Lord has given us to come together. A lot of people don't have this opportunity tonight. A lot of people don't take advantage of this opportunity. But each one will give account before God one day. Whether we love Him in word or in deed and in truth, God knows all about it. He knows what we need, as the song says. He'll provide what we need. Yeah. Maybe not all of my wants, but He'll provide my needs. And my need most of all is for the leadership of His Spirit to guide a life that with just me going my own way, I'd never make it to heaven. Never make it. Couldn't make it on my own. It takes the Lord and the Holy Spirit directing our life. Someone have a testimony at this time.
Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord.
If not, we'll go ahead and take some prayer requests and dedicate our service to the Lord in prayer. Anybody have a spoken request? Bless you, Bob.
This morning I asked my neighbor's daughter, she came over there, and asked about Kathy and how she's doing. They put her in Charleston, and she's keeping on passing out. They've got on ventilators, and they can't keep her going, and I'm really concerned about her. She's not allowed visitors. I didn't think she was. I keep calling her, but they just keep saying she's resting comfortably. But anyway, I'm really concerned about her, and I'd really like you all to pray for Kathy. I remember my lost loved ones.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else?
Bless the Lord.
I'd like for you all to remember a little boy by the name of Cohen Bramley. I've requested prayer for him before in the past. He's 5 or 6 years old and has never been able to eat his entire life. And they think that they have finally found the gene that, and I don't really understand it, it's either a gene that he has or a gene that he is lacking that is causing this through studies that they have done at Duke and at Cincinnati Children's Hospital. And right now, they say the only cure for him is a bone marrow transplant. And the middle of August, he will have that transplant donated by his older brother. So it's very important between now and then that Cohen remain healthy and not have fevers and not get any infections, which is very difficult for him, you know, because he has a feeding tube and a lot of other things that he's connected to all the time. So I would just like for you all to be in special prayer for that little boy, that this miracle will happen for this family.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Someone else.
I'd like for you to remember the little girl that I told you about was 4 years old and had a brain cancer. Her name's Heidi.
Charlie, I'd still like the church to remember Tim, the alcoholic, and Paul, the drug addict.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's a lot of them, names that we don't know, but God knows them. Anyone else?
Just still remember my sister, Emma, who's in the nursing home, and she's not responding too good, and then Roberta's aunt's in the same room with her, and they've been called hospice, I think, in for her, so remember both of them.
Charlie, I have an
issue
for you.
Yeah.
Seen her for about 2 years, and didn't know too much about her personally.
the unspoken? Let's each one lead out the room.
Thank you. Page number 14, Power in the Blood.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power. In the blood of the Lamb,
heart's free. Much in prayer, Brother Rob comes with a message tonight.
Good evening. How's everybody doing this evening? Some of you are good. Some of you are great. One of you is great. How's the rest of you? Super wonderful. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I like to hear. If everybody's done. Are you done? If you got your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Now, going to read a long text. Not going to preach a long text. Just a warning. I'm not going to read a lot. Not going to preach a lot. Ephesians, I'm ringing up here, I think. Or my ears are ringing, one of the two. Ephesians chapter 2. If everybody's there, if you can, if you will, stand for the reading of God's word. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 4, says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he hath loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show his exceeding great riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh, made by hands. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off, made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, God, we just want to come to you right now, Father, and Lord, we thank you for this chance to get together. God, we thank you for your Spirit that flows. God, we thank you for your Spirit that moves. Lord, we thank you for your Spirit that speaks to us. Now, God, I ask, Lord, that as we move forward, Lord, help me to step back, Lord, that you could step forward, Father. Help me not to speak so that you can speak, that all things said will be by you, for you, and through you. God, meet the needs in the church tonight, whatever's here. Lord, before we part ways, before we go, speak to the one that needs you the most. Speak to the one that needs you the least, Father. Speak to each one of us in our life. Lord, be what we need. Be who we need, Father. Be the power that we need, Father. Be the strength that we need. Lord, be the encouragement that we need. Father, as we come into your presence right now, we ask you to move into this service in a special way, God. We ask you to move into your word and into this voice. God, we just give you praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen. You may be seated. Just for some moments of time, I would like to talk to you about this scripture. But we're not going to talk about all of them, just a few of them. So first we're going to go to verse 4. Verse 4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy." Now let's talk about this rich for just a minute, all right? This God who is rich. Now, a lot of people talk about, is God rich? Is God not rich? Is God wealthy? Is God not wealthy? Does God have a lot? Does God not have a lot? Well, I'm just going to put it this way. You better hope, I better hope, we better hope that God is rich. We better hope that God has a lot. Why is that? Because Paul said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. My God shall supply. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a lot of needs in this life, and I'm sure you have a lot of needs. And I thought about it this way. I was in church this morning, and we had, I think, 77, 80 people. Now, today, you had 775 here. So together, that's 200 and some. Now, that's a lot of needs. That's a lot of needs for a lot of people. God better have a lot to meet those needs. And here's one thing for sure. You can be guaranteed, you can know for sure, that whatever need you have, God has what it takes. Be it possessions, be it spiritual things, be it money, be it whatever. This is what God says in his word. He says, all the beasts of the forest are mine. All the beasts of the forest are mine. So he owns them all. And then he says, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. So all the beasts of the forest are mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. And I would venture to say the hills are his too. Why? Because Psalms, I think it's 50, says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the world is his. So God is rich in what we would consider rich, but he has to be for our sake. Now, he didn't have to be for our sake. He just is. But I'm thankful that he is because I know this. David said, I was young, now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Whatever need you will ever have, ever have, God has the means to meet that need, and God will meet that need. You can know that for sure. You can know that without doubt whatsoever. It's a fact that God's got what you need, so when you need it, he's ready. So if you want to consider whether he's rich or not rich, whatever. But know this, he has the means. He has enough to meet your need, and that's all we need to know. But that's not what he's talking about here. He's not talking about rich as in possessions. He's talking about rich. Let's define rich for just a minute. Rich means to have great wealth. To have great, I looked it up because I'm not smart. To have great wealth, of great value, or extremely productive. Now, wealth means an abundance, all right? I looked at it. Wealth means an abundance. So rich, he's rich here in mercy. God is rich in mercy when it comes to me and it comes to you. God is rich in mercy. What that means, he has a great abundance of mercy for each one of us. He has an abundance of the mercy that we need every day. He has an abundance or it says extremely productive. And I like that because I think of it like this. Every day I need his mercy. His mercy means not getting what we do deserve. Not getting what we do deserve. That's baseline mercy. Not getting what you do deserve, what I do deserve. So every day, he's rich in mercy. He has a lot of it. He has an abundance of mercy. And I think that's great because every day when we use it, we don't use it up. We don't use his mercy up. Like I think of it like this. We won't wake up tomorrow morning and we need his mercy and God will never go, you know what? Yesterday you used the rest of it. You used the last of my mercy I had for you yesterday. I had 480 moments of mercy set for your life, and you used them all up yesterday. So sorry. He will never say that. Instead, what he says is this. Now, mercy, and I thought this is cool because this ties the world to God's word. Mercy, in a definition, is compassionate, kind treatment. Compassionate and kind treatment. So to be merciful to somebody means you're compassionate to them and you're kind to them. Now here's what Lamentations says. Lamentations 3 says that in mercy and compassion, they're new every morning. God's mercy and God's compassion is new every morning. So when you wake up tomorrow, you've got as much mercy that God for your life that God has today. It never runs out. So tomorrow morning when I get up, I know this. I know that God will have, and you can know that God will have mercy for you that day. Why? Because it's brand new and ongoing every day. And we need his mercy. We've got to have, because to not get what we do deserve is to not get hell. To not get what we do deserve is to not get hell. Romans says it like this. The wages of sin is death. So what we deserve is death. Let me ask you this. I'm going to quote one verse to you, just one verse, and tell me if you qualify as having sinned or not. Honor thy father and thy mother. Has anybody never dishonored your father and mother? Has anybody ever not disobeyed mom and dad or not backtalked mom and dad or not sassed mom and dad? Anybody in here ever not done any of that? So we've all done that. So we all deserve hell. Not much, but it just takes... Just learn. One time's all it takes to learn. One time's all it takes to break the law. So if you've done it once, if I've done it once, I deserve what? I deserve death. Now, he's not talking physical death, although in the Old Testament, in the Old Law, there were some sins, some laws that came with death. You know, if you stole something, they cut your hand off. If you put somebody's eye out, they took your eye out. If you took somebody's life, they took your life. But he's not talking about that kind of death. He's talking about spiritual death. When we sin, we deserve spiritual death. Now, what death is that? The Bible says in Revelation that death and hell, so when we die lost, when we die sinning, when we die without Jesus in our life, we die and go where? Where's our sentence? We go to hell. Then the Bible says in Revelation that death and hell are cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. So we deserve that death once we sin. You sin once, you deserve it. I sin once, I deserve it. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but God's mercy comes in. God brings out his mercy and he moves into grace and he says, but the gift of God is eternal life. His mercy keeps us from having to go to hell. He's rich in mercy and loves us so much that he doesn't make us go where we should have to go. He doesn't make us go where our sin causes us to go. He doesn't make us go where we actually have earned to go. His mercy moves us into grace. He says, deservingly out of your sin, deservingly, you deserve hell, but I give you grace instead. I give you grace that will lead you to heaven. Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Now, is there anybody that has never sinned? Is there anybody besides Jesus that will go through life and never sin? No, there's not. The Bible actually says in Romans, as it is written, and it's written in, I think, Psalms 34 and Psalms 53 in verses 1 through 3 in each one of them, there is none good, no, not one. None good, no, not one. So we're doomed from the beginning. Why? Because of the nature that we get. So our nature itself causes us to do what is deserving of hell. But God says, I am a merciful God, and I will not cause you to go to hell. I will not leave you that way. I will move into this rich mercy that I have and extend grace. So we deserve hell, but God's mercy says, you don't have to have it. And so I ask myself, why? Why? Why would God love me that way? Why would God extend that mercy to me? Because the second half of this verse says, for his great love wherewith he has loved us. You see, he's rich in mercy because he chooses to be, because he loves you. He just loves you because he just loves you. It has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with me. And that's a good thing. God loves you because he created you. God loves you because he chooses to love you. That's why God loves us. No other reason. It's not anything we've ever done. It's not anything that we deserve. It's just because God loves us. And his love is blind. You know, they say love is blind. Isn't that what they say? Love is blind. What's the Bible say? It covers a multitude of sins. It looks the other way. Love, God's love, now think about it this way. God has blinded himself towards us with his love towards us. Because if he actually looked at us the way we are in our life, we would deserve hell. We would get hell. But he says, I love you so much. Now, how much does he love us? The Bible says that God commendeth his love towards us. God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So he doesn't love us because of anything that we do or don't do. He doesn't love us because of the way we are or the way we're not. He loves us even before we... You see, the Bible says it like this. Before or while we were sinners. So even when I had committed that sin, when I lived in that sin, in that time from when I realized that I needed to get saved and I didn't, because how many people answered God the first time with yes when he called the first time? Anybody, the first time God asked you to get saved, said yes? We got one? One. The rest of us, we were rolling the dice. We were taking a chance. The Bible says that even in that time of my life, in that time of your life, that God, Christ, died for us, even while we were yet sinners. Now, I like the one even better, a couple verses up, it says it like this. This is what God says, and this is the one that I think is interesting to me, and I'll explain to you what I think. And you can think different, I don't mind, that's okay. The Bible says, when we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. The ungodly, have you ever been called ungodly? The Bible says that while we were yet without strength, God died for the ungodly. That's us. That's me. That's you. You're ungodly. I'm ungodly. Look at somebody and tell them, say, you're ungodly. Go ahead. You're just quoting the Bible. Tell them, say, you're ungodly. Now you look back at them and say, God loves me anyway. Look back at that person and say, God loves me anyway. Because you're quoting the Bible when you say we're ungodly. Now, the Bible says when you are yet without strength. So I ask myself, what does it mean to have strength? What does it mean to have strength? To be able to move? Like you have the strength. Anybody got strength to lift up your arm? Anybody? Yeah. Got strength to lift up your leg? Right? So when you can move, you have strength, right? So when we, mommies, let me ask you this. When we were in the womb, did we have the strength to kick the rib cage? To bounce on the bladder? So even in the womb, we had strength. The Bible says, but when we were yet without strength. So when is that? Think about that for just a second. When is that? That is before you were even conceived. Before you were even conceived. Before I was even conceived, the Bible says, Jesus died for me. Before I was conceived, before this ungodly person standing before you was conceived, the Bible says, he loved me so much. He loved me so much that even before I was conceived, he died for me. Why? Because he knew that you were going to be born. He knew that you were going to come to. He knew he was going to create you, and he wanted you to be able to go to heaven. It doesn't matter what you do or what you did. It matters what he did. It doesn't matter what I do or what I did. It matters what he did. He loves me just because he loves me and not because of anything else. It's not about us. It's all about him. He's rich in mercy because he loves us. He's not rich in mercy because we are good. Or because we are right, or because we are saved. He's rich in mercy because he loves us. You know, and I thought about, well, who's the perfect example of that? The thief on the cross. The thief on the cross. You know, the one mocked him and said, if you're really Christ, save yourself and us. The other one says, what are you doing? We justly receive our reward. This man doesn't deserve what he's getting. He's done nothing wrong. He looks at Jesus and he says, remember me when you're in your kingdom. And what's Jesus say to him? Today you will be with me in paradise. Today. Why? Because he loves you. He loves you, and that's it. No other reason. Why does he love you? Just because he loves you. So in his first verse, in verse 4, we see that he's rich in mercy, has mercy that goes on, that's new every day, it never stops, it never ends. And he has that mercy just simply because he loves you, and he loves you because he loves you. Just because he loves you. Now, to move down into verse 6. Verse 6 says this. And hath raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to tell you something. I agree with you and I don't agree with you. All right? I agree with you and I probably don't agree with you. But maybe it's just that we haven't thought it through yet. So let's think it through. The Bible says, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is. Right? Now, what people will say when they quote that verse is, that means go to church. That means go to church. It means go to church. Now, how often do we have church here? Sunday mornings? Sunday night? Wednesday night? When else? Revivals? Special services, right? It doesn't just mean, I don't think, come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. I think it means come to church those times. When you can, plus revivals when you can, plus special services when you can, plus sings when you can. But here's what I think. I don't think it's just talking about when we come into these four walls, because these four walls are not the church. The church is you. You are the church. The Bible says that the kingdom is within your heart. The church is you. So when you come together, when we come together and we come into this place, the church is now here. When we leave this place, this is just a building, and the church walked out. Because the church is me. Our body is the temple that God resides in. When we come together, we form the church. The Bible says, where there's two or three together, there I am in the midst. And here's why you and I should come to church, says the preacher to the people one Sunday night. Right? The ones that needed to hear this part aren't here tonight. They're at home or somewhere. But anyway, you go tell them what I said or what God said. The reason you should come to church is because the Bible says where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. And where they are in the midst, Jesus says things will happen. Things will happen. So he makes us sit together in heavenly places, whether it's right here in this sanctuary, or whether we're meeting at a picnic, or we're meeting at a revival, or we're meeting on a day trip, or we're meeting at a cookout. when a church gets together, it's not just here. It's anywhere that you and I get together, anywhere that the people of God get together. That's where the church is. That's where church is, and that's where Jesus is, and that's where his blessings are. The Bible says it like this in Psalms 133. He says, where there's unity, and that's us getting together in unity, one mind, one accord, the same thought, the same intent, doing the same thing, worshiping the same God. And that happens no matter what we're doing and no matter where we're at. It happens in here. That's why you and I should come to church, because in here is a special place. But when you gather together at somebody's house, you're having church there. You know what? I have church. Now, it says two or three, right? So we've got one, two, three. So all y'all can go home. We don't need all y'all. Y'all don't need us. But we need each other. It says where there's unity, where we get together, and where we join in thought, two or three together. The Bible says where two agree in any one thing on earth, it'll be done in heaven. But where we get together in unity, God says, I command my blessings there. So what we need to do, is quit kicking people while they're down. Well, let me back up one step. Quit knocking people down. And then kicking them while they're down there. Because one of the things that happens in the church is when somebody does something that I don't like, I like to talk about them, right? I mean, I don't like to talk about them, but that's what church people do. We talk about them. When they do something we don't agree with. Well, Rob shouldn't have said that. Let me talk about it. You know, some people call it having the preacher for lunch when he's not there. You know what I mean? Having our friends for lunch when they're not there. And then we kick them while they're down. The Bible says don't do that. Let's edify them. Let's pray for them. Now, I'll tell you one thing. Years ago, back when I was but a young lad, I don't know, 18, 19, something like that, I started coming to church out here. And I had an earring in my left ear. How many of you would let your sons have an earring in their left ear? How many of you would rip it out if you come home with an earring in their left ear? Now, somebody in this church didn't like my earring. Somebody of great office in this church didn't like my earring. But you know what? Never said anything to me about it. Never said a thing to me about it. But he prayed about it. I don't have an earring in my left ear anymore. Didn't talk about me, except to God. Now, is the earring in my left ear right or wrong? That's in here and there. But the thing is, he didn't tell me and condemn me and talk to me about how wrong I was. He just prayed about it. That's what the church ought to do. Come together in unity. And where there's unity, Christ says, I'll let you sit in heavenly places. And me and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, that's four together. So you know where a lot of heavenly places are? In my car. Anybody ever have church in your car by yourself? See, because I really sing. No, I can't finish that way. I really sing in my car. I don't really sing well in my car, but I really sing in my car, right? And I worship God in my car, and I praise him with that joyful noise that's only joyful to him. It's not even joyful to me, but it's joyful to him. But I go down the road, and I'm just singing, and I'm shouting, and I'm waving my hands, and I'm bobbing my head, and I'm all over the road, and but me and the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, we are sitting in a heavenly place. But why? Because I'm in the presence of God. And that's what it is when you and I come together in here or out there, anywhere. When we come together, God says, I'll lift you up, I'll bring you into heavenly places, and I'll pour out my blessings on your life if you'll just do that. So when we come together in unity, God says, right there, that's what it's going to be like in heaven. Right there. That's what it's going to be like in heaven. It's not going to be one section for this church and a section for that church and a section for this church and a section for that church. It's going to be one church together in unity, worshiping and praising and honoring God in a heavenly place. But you can have that down here. You can have that down here. Now, if we jump on down to verse 8. Verse 8 says this. Verse 8 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, here's what, you know what grace is. Grace is getting what you don't deserve, right? Getting what you don't deserve. I don't deserve heaven, but I get heaven. I don't deserve the blessings of God, but I get the blessings of God. You know, God blesses us all the time. We are very blessed in our life. Now, and I thought about salvation. This is what I think about salvation. Here's my take on salvation, all right? We can't earn it, therefore we can't fall short of earning it. Isn't that good? Do you think that's good? We can't earn it. Therefore, I can't fall short, just short of earning. I can't buy it, so I can't just not have enough money. You know, it's not like this. I'm going to go to heaven one day, and I'm going to get to the gate, and God says, all right, admission is $1 million, and I count it out. $999,999.99. I'm a penny short. God says, cost $1 million. Look in, turn around, and walk. It won't happen that way because I can't buy it. But because I can't buy it, I can't just not be short. I just can't not have enough, not enough money to make it through. I can't be good enough, therefore I can't not be good enough. And it's what I thought about that one. I thought, who's the most not good person? Who's the most evil, most vile person that you would think doesn't deserve heaven? That I would think doesn't deserve heaven because their lifestyle, because they're not good. That person can't be good enough. But that person can't not be good enough. They can't be bad enough to not get heaven. Why? Because it's not through what we did. It's through grace. It's through Christ. It's through Jesus. And it's only free to us. Your salvation, my salvation, is a very costly thing. Very costly. It costs God his Son. It costs Jesus his life. And it costs heaven its best. It's free to me, but it's not free. It's free to me because God said, I'll do it for you, and I won't charge you. He said, I'll give it to you. I'll give you grace. I'll give you unmerited favor. I'll give you something you don't deserve. He gives us blessings every day. And I thought about this when I was studying. I thought about living in America. Living in America alone is a blessing. You ever think about that? Really, do you ever think about that? You know, you may say, well, preacher, well, times are hard right now. Times are tough. It's not going well. Well, it might not be. But you know what? If you picked anybody in America, picked their lifestyle up and put them in many other countries, we would be the 1%. Right? So though it's not going well here in our mind, in our eyes, in our hearts, in our feelings, we're still overall doing well. It's a blessing to be born in America. There's 7.5 billion people on the earth. There's over 300 million people in America, so there's like 7.2 billion people that would love to trade places with any one of us. How many times when I count my blessings and name them one by one, do I count being born in America as that blessing? That's a blessing. That's a blessing that God has given me. That's a blessing that God has given you. He blesses us every day of our life, but he blesses us in his salvation because of him. Not because of me. It's not of my works. It's not of your works. It's just of his work on the cross. Move down to verse 12. 12 and 13 says it like this. Verse 12 says, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promises, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now, look at this for just a minute. Go back. Yeah, there you go. That at time, okay, let's go to this one. Strangers from the covenants of promise. We, at one point, were not eligible for anything this Bible has to give. At one time, we were not eligible for anything that this Bible has to promise, anything this Bible has to offer. At one time, it was just for his chosen people. It wasn't for the Gentiles. Now, we're all Gentiles, so we weren't worthy of it. We weren't deserving. We weren't getting it. We were strangers from, and the Bible says it like this. Well, let's look at it this way. So at one time, our people, we weren't eligible. Then when we became eligible, at one time, I wasn't eligible. At one time, you weren't eligible. The moment when God said, time to give your life to me, and we didn't, we chose not to. We were then strangers. Strangers from the covenant of promise. Now it's like this. Jesus says it like this. He says, that person, he, she, that is not with me is against me. That person that is not with me is against me. So when we weren't following Christ, we were against Christ. Now, we don't ever think of it that way. I never think, oh, I was just against Christ. I was his enemy. But the Bible says anybody that's a friend of the world, that's what John says, 1 John, anybody that's a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Now, one time I walked in the world. I talked in the world. I lived in the world. I was a part of the world. I was glad to be part of it. At one time, we were all a part of the world. And at that time, we were the enemy of God. We weren't the friend of God. We were against God. And if you're not with God, God says, if you're not with me, you're against me. So when we weren't with him, we were against him. But the Bible says, I'm going to read real quick to you. In Romans chapter 8, real quick, verse 14 says this: "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ." You see, let's go back to the other one. We were strangers from the covenant of promises. We were not eligible. And then it says, no hope. Having no hope. Having no hope. We walked in this world. We walked in this world with no hope. Only one hope did we have. We had one hope of one promise before we accepted Jesus Christ. We had one hope of one promise. And that promise was this. That promise was that you can go to hell. He said, I promise you, you can go to hell. And we said, all right, that's my hope because I'm not saved. I didn't accept you. My only hope, my only hope was that in outside of Christ, I was going to go to hell. We had to hope. Abraham. The Bible says Abraham was told by God, you're old. Abraham, you're old. Sarah, you're not as young as you used to be. You like how I said that? I didn't tell the woman she was old because she wasn't. She wasn't young, but wasn't as young as she used to be. The man is old. He said, but you're going to be the father of many nations. Your descendants are going to be as the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. The Bible says that Abraham hoped against hope. Now, what hope did he have at 100 years old to have a baby? Does anybody want to have a baby at 100 years old? Does anybody want to have a newborn in a bassinet beside their bed when you're 100 years old? Is it even possible? Well, with God it's possible, but that's the only way. But Abraham's hope was this. It's hopeless. I can't have a baby when I'm 100 years old. She can't have a baby when she's not young. But God said it was going to be. So the Bible says Abraham hoped against hope. Our only hope was that we were going to hell. Because the Bible says if you're not saved, you got one hope, and that's to go to hell. That's it. That's the promise of God for you if you're not saved, is you're going to go to hell. You're going to end up in hell. You're going to die in eternity forever. Die and never die. It's dying with never finishing. The only hope was this. Hopelessness. Paul said, if in this life only I had hope in Christ Jesus, I would be of all men most miserable. Now let's look at that real quick for just a minute. Just a minute. Not far. Not close, but not far. If in this life only. If means there's a chance it can happen. Means there's a chance it can't happen. So if in this life only we had hope in Christ Jesus. What that tells me is in this life you have hope in Jesus. In this life you have hope in Jesus. Jesus didn't say, I'm going to save you and I'm going to leave you and I'm going to go to the end of your life and I'm going to jump down here in 3052 because you're going to live that long and I'm going to be here at the end of your life when you die. So I'm going to save you clear down there, but I'm going to wait till you get here to meet you again. No, he said, in this life I'm going to bless you, I'm going to lead you, I'm going to guide you and protect you. I'm going to meet every need in your life. He said, you have hope in me in this world. The Bible actually says Jesus is our hope in this world. So in this world, you do have hope, but you have hope outside of this world. You have hope in the life everlasting. You know, I was preaching at Tim's church this morning down at Grace, and I said something about eternity. I said, for the rest of eternity, as if there's a rest of eternity. Like, rest means there's an end, right? For the rest of this show, because it ends. Eternity don't end, so you can't say for the rest of eternity, but for all of eternity. We have hope in this life for God's blessings and godliness. Then we have hope in eternity, all of eternity, that we're going to spend it in heaven. You know, but we were strangers. Leave it right there. We were strangers to the promise. We had no hope. But now, in Christ Jesus, like Romans says, now you're the sons of God. Now you have that hope. Though you were sometimes afar off, now you're made nigh by the blood of Jesus. So now, through his blood, through his salvation, through his grace, through his mercy, through his blessings, now we have that hope of this world and the world to come, of life here and life everlasting in heaven. Because you will have life everlasting no matter where it's at. But you can have life everlasting in heaven because of the blood of Christ, because of Jesus. Nothing to do with us. All about His mercy, all about His grace. So we were once strangers. We were once without God. We were once with no hope. But now in Christ, we have all that. We're not strangers. We have hope. We have God. We have Jesus. We have everything that we need. Now, if we jump down quickly to verse 12 and 13, it says this, that at that time you were without Christ. No, let me jump on down to verse 19. 19 says this, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. You know what happened? You know what happened? The moment you said, yes, Lord. You changed from death unto life. You changed from death unto life. Little John says it like this. Beloved, I like this. Beloved, now. Now. Right now, you are the sons of God. Right now, you are the daughters of God. Right now, you are the children of God. Beloved, you don't have to wait another minute. Beloved, you don't have to wait another day. Beloved, you don't have to wait till you die. But you can be right now. When you said yes to God, you become instantaneously, in that moment, one of His children, one of His king. You know what? You become the child of a king. You become royalty. You become holy. You become set apart. You become peculiar. You become a Christian. You become one of His right now, not later. Right now, not when you die. Not when we pass over, but in this moment. In this moment, you sit here as one of His. You sit here as an heir of God, as a joint heir with Jesus, as a king's kid, as Al likes to say. As a king's kid, as the son and daughter of the Holy Father. Not later, but right now. This is what He said, whosoever. Now, who's a whosoever? Everybody. Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. When you and I made that profession, when you and I believed in that moment, when you and I said yes, now God said, you're now one of mine. You don't have to wait. You don't have to worry. Because now are you citizens. Now you're no more strangers. Now we're not foreigners. Now we are of the household of God. Now, I'm just about done. Now, through His rich mercy, God, who is rich in mercy, has extended all this to you and to me. And He says it like this. He says, I don't just save you and leave you. I save you to bless you. Are you getting the blessings of God in your life? Are you experiencing His rich grace and His rich mercy, His rich blessings? Because He says, I have them in abundance for you. I have them, and I like how I put that, extremely productive for you. I have that for you, but do you have that? Tonight, what is it you need from God? What is it God is talking to you about? Do you need to pray about anything? Do you need to pray about something? Do you need to pray for somebody? Do you need God to meet a need? Do you want God? Here's the thing the Bible says. If you will delight yourself in the Lord, He will give you the desires of your heart. Maybe you don't have a need. Maybe all your needs are met. And that's a good place to be in. And there's nothing wrong with that. But maybe you have a want. And you want to talk to God about it. So do you have a need tonight? Do you have a want tonight? As we stand to sing, God says, whatever it is, I am here. Whatever it is, I have the means. Whatever it is, come, let's talk about it.
Page 83. Jesus.
just want to talk to God tonight. As we sing one more verse, you know, a lot of times we say, if they do one more of this, if they do one more of that. If you're saying if they do one more verse, here's your verse. Listen to God's Spirit. Obey the Spirit. Heed the Spirit.
Page 34. The way that He loves is as fair as the day that blesses my way with light. The way that He loves is as soft as the breeze, I'll be. The way that He loves is so thrilling because His love reaches even me.
Amen. Has anybody got anything? Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Come back out. Be with us.